This is one in a series of podcasts from the Hyatt Webb Conference in Austin, 2011.
Hi, I'm Rick. I've worked in higher education for a long time, my entire professional career, in lots of different capacities on the web. And in all these different roles, the common problem in all this work was content. And it led me to focus on trying to come up with content solutions for a lot of these problems. And so now I currently run a content strategy consultancy in Boston and aim to kind of solve those content problems. ePublish Media is my name up there, my Twitter handle. All the Rick Allen variations were taken. I tried every one. I also co-founded Meet Content with Georgie Cohen here. She talked yesterday about higher ed news. And the two of us are big proponents of higher ed web content. Meet Content is a blog online resource dedicated to higher education content strategy. And our goal here is to kind of enable higher ed to create and sustain web content that works. We're trying to elevate the discussion about higher ed web content and are looking to kind of talk to lots of you about the problems that you're running into and share those solutions. So yes. I'm definitely a fan of quality content. Today, I want to talk about web analytics, though, and how analytics can support content planning and also be used to demonstrate content success. For anyone working on the web, this is critical, because if we can't make the case for content work, we can't demonstrate success. So what about analytics? Exactly. Analytics is the so what of content strategy, allowing us to quantitatively evaluate content quality, including content delivery, communications, branding, almost every element of content strategy. But measurement is typically considered like a post-launch task, right? You're evaluating content after it's been published. But it's not the only time we need to be asking so what. In fact, at every stage in the content strategy planning process, we need to be asking this question. And as a result, analytics can help inform our content work at every stage. This topic of this presentation was born out of my own need to be able to quantify the value of my work. And it's very hard with content. Reason being is that content strategy is a process. It's not a project. And so it makes it very hard to measure the effectiveness of all these different deliverables and stages and make the case for content. As Christina Halverson, author of Content Strategy for the Web, says, web analytics changed the game for marketers and advertisers. But with respect to content quality, many practitioners are flip-flopping with regard to which numbers matter and whether we can make use of them. This is one of the problems we need to fix. Content folks, including myself, get hung up on the fact that analytics can't adequately answer why, right? It can't define user intent. All the data that we have available to us will not replace a single person coming up to you and telling you why they came to your website and why they left. Another problem, articulated by Claire O'Brien, a content strategist in London, says, broadly speaking, and thanks largely to the ubiquity and ease of access to Google Analytics, businesses have become fixated by traffic volumes, bounces, sources, journeys, and subsequent destinations and the like, and aren't looking to learn more. We need to move past dashboard metrics. This is a typical dashboard view in Google Analytics. This is typically where people start their analytics analysis. They're captivated by flashy, sexy data. Yes, I did say sexy and data in the same sentence. But this data is not useful on its own. The content measurement roadblocks that we're facing are we don't know what numbers matter, and we're looking in the wrong places. And the reason these are roadblocks is numbers rarely speak for themselves. 2,000 page views. Is this good or bad? 70% returning visitors. Is this better than 70% new visitors? We all want new visitors, right? Bounce rate. This could mean that someone came to your website, the content was not what they expected, and they immediately left. Or it can mean they came to your website, found exactly what they needed, and left satisfied. Numbers rarely speak for themselves. So we can't start here. This is not where we can start for content measurement using web analytics. We need to start here. We need to say, ask what, so what, and use fancy keynote transitions. So broadly, there are two approaches to web analytics. One is the bottom-up approach, right? And this is where you start with a broad set of metrics and you narrow your search so as to identify some insights. This is a process of insights through discovery. And while this approach seems easier because you're jumping right into the data and it's right there, in reality, this is much more difficult. It's hard to find answers when you don't know the questions to ask. So I want to talk about the second approach to web analytics. And this is the top-down approach. And this is where you start with a narrow set of goals, and then you broaden your search to identify a larger set of relevant web metrics that support those goals. So this process allows you to answer your content questions. So my very first recommendation here is to find answers with web analytics, start with meaningful content questions. And this is the reason why it's so important. Avinash Krishek is the author of Web Analytics 2.0, and he's the web analytics evangelist for Google, has an awesome blog too. He says, often numbers don't speak as loudly as they should because you're missing one simple ingredient, context. Without context, your data is meaningless. This is the big hurdle for analytics analysis. If your data isn't meaningful, people can't make decisions, and it's hard to care. Now, I'm kind of a content-first advocate for the web. I advocate for a content-first approach. I guess that's not a surprise at this point. But admittedly, sometimes I get kind of caught up in the campaign. And I forget to highlight some of the important steps that actually do happen before content. And Christina Halverson had a tweet recently that kind of illustrates this point for me. Before mobile, before content, vision first. Or more to the point, objectives, right? What is the purpose of your website? What do your users want from your website? So through this process, I mean, goals provide context. And context provides meaning. And when we learn to make good use of analytics data, analytics can do more than report progress. It can inform process. It can inform content planning for research and discovery, content audits, analysis. So let's look at how analytics can support these content planning efforts. Unlike internal stakeholders, our web users, our audiences, are rarely at the ready to tell us exactly what they're wanting from our websites. And so we have to be proactive to gain these insights. And we rely on use cases, personas, user interviews. And we use these approaches to be able to imagine our web visitors. However, as the user experience consultancy User Intelligence describes here, these tactics have some inherent limitations. Data usually is from a small number set. Most methods take a snapshot in time. They can be difficult to capture some behavior. And settings sometimes artificial, including like lab tests. So web analytics enables more comprehensive user research. Right? We don't have to settle for those limitations. Another element of content strategy, content audit. A content audit is a critical early step in content strategy, in developing a content strategy. It helps us identify what content exists and whether it meets the business needs. Simply put, content audits are needed because if we don't know what content we have, right? How do we know what content we need? or if that content is any good. So this is what a typical, you know, spreadsheet looks like, content audit. And during this process, we can have a rot content audit. It's kind of an early content assessment. And this is where we have a superficial evaluation of content quality. If you're not familiar with the term rot, it stands for redundant, outdated, trivial content. And this is, you can use this or you could do like a more comprehensive one, evaluation, also addressing whether content is appropriate, useful, usable. But during a content audit, this is really helpful because it really filters out all of the really high-level content problems. It identifies a lot of low-hanging fruit that you can tackle. But when you're finished with an audit and you have a spreadsheet now with thousands of pages or thousands of rows, how do you prioritize those content insights? I mean, it's typically not reasonable to expect that you can nail every single content problem. So web analytics can help identify and evaluate the impact of content problems. And I'm going to actually get to some examples on how we can do that. Content analysis is another element. It's often led through a qualitative evaluation, including identifying content, figuring out if it's useful and relevant, clarity and accuracy, influence and engagement, completeness, voice and style, usability and findability. And these are things that are really hard to evaluate quantitatively. So it's appropriate, obviously, to be starting this process from a qualitative perspective. But that's not where the process should end. A lot of the questions that come up during this process require analytics to either answer or help answer, including how do I know which part of the audience of our audience is getting our message? Are they sharing our ideas? What type of content is most effective at driving inquiries? What channel should we use to communicate with prospective students? Are people finding our content through search? When they find it, is it relevant to them? These are all questions that analytics can help answer. So, recommendation here is augment qualitative analysis with web analytics for deeper content insights. So, what I want to do now is actually show you how you can do this and what process we can follow for using web analytics to answer our content problems. And to do this, I'm wondering if someone would be willing to help me out. Can I have a volunteer? You'll get a prize. No, the first person who volunteered before I said there was a prize gets the... If you wouldn't mind coming up. So I want to go through this process with you and kind of identify how you can identify metrics. But I want to actually use some real case examples here, and we can actually go through this with you. So here's your target marker. If you could just write down the answers that people shoot out, which you're going to shoot out in a second. A web analytics framework kind of looks like this, right? So that funnel that I was talking about earlier, we're starting with a narrow set of goals, and you're broadening it to identify a larger set of relevant web metrics. This is that process. And it starts with a deceptively simple question, right? What is the purpose of your website? Can anyone tell me the purpose of their website? There's more than one purpose, hopefully. To recruit students. Okay, if you wouldn't mind writing that down. Okay. Other objectives could be increased customer service, right? Increased brand awareness. It could be communications, marketing. It could also be improve operational efficiency, right? Because your website is not necessarily always just a marketing tool. It improves internal workflow. So one of the examples that I want to kind of follow along in parallel with this one is, if you wouldn't mind writing this, improve communications and feedback systems. So the second step is content goals. Right? these are your content questions here. What actions do you want people to take on your website? For recruit students, for our objective there, can anyone offer some actions that you would want someone to take on your website for recruiting students?
Apply.
Okay. So you want them to click on the apply button or complete that, the application. What are some other ideas?
Request a visit.
Any others? Request information. Like us on Facebook. How does that directly relate to recruit students? It can. I just keeps them connected. For this process, you can always have multiple objectives, and of course, any website does. But the purpose of this process is you want to, if possible, have the goals be as tightly connected to the objective as possible. Because what we're going to try and do is identify metrics that directly support these goals and the objective. So we have apply, request visit, like us, request info. So for one of the other example that I put there was, improve communication and feedback systems. Maybe that is we want someone to read our blog, our news blog. And maybe we want them to leave a comment. In order for content to be valuable, it needs to support some type of action. And this is why analytics is so helpful for this. And as our peer, Tim Neckritz, says, great content moves people to action. Way to go, Tim. The next step is KPIs. And this is kind of a very jargony term for relevant web metrics. So this is a collection of metrics. It could be page views and bounce rate and some of those seemingly irrelevant ones that I was mentioning earlier. But together, they provide some context and insight related to these goals and objectives. So this question is, what relevant web metrics can be used to measure our content goals over time? So some of our content goals here are apply. So applying would be, can someone give me an example of how that would work for their website? Is that clicking on downloading a PDF application? Okay. No? Submitting an online application? Either or. Okay. So if you're downloading a PDF application, the metric, one of the metrics we'd want there, right, would be, of course, to track that click. What are some other metrics that relate to these goals? Request a visit. Can someone give an example of how that works on their website and what actions that we'd want to be evaluating? Submitting a form. Okay. Yep. So then another, KPI there would be to evaluate the confirmation for a request to visit. Or if it was an email link, then measuring that click there so that you have that's a conversion. Going back to my other example about the news site and comment rate, some typical engagement metrics, some common ones, are depth of visit or time on page. So in this example here, it says average time on page is 1 minute, 50 seconds. So that could be a KPI that we want to evaluate as part of a collection of other ones. And then as part of evaluating comments, people leaving a comment on our website, we can look at a comment rate. And this is a custom metric, right? So we are creating an analytics goal in Google Analytics or whatever program you use. And anytime someone leaves a comment on your blog, it gets recorded as a goal, as an action. And so then this is then a custom metric, and then you can actually evaluate the conversion rate. So in this example, this blog has a 1.58% comment rate. So the next step is targets. And this is important, right? Because, you know, if we have, going back to the earlier example, 2,000 page views, if that's good or bad, without a target, that we don't have that perspective. If the target is, 1,000 page views, then 2,000 is looking pretty good. If your target is 3,000 page views, then 2,000 is not looking so great. So for these examples here, tracking the apply clicks or submit a form, some of the targets could be, you would evaluate it based on previous numbers. So I'll just offer an example here. So for time on page, for this example, you know, we can look at, this is over a 4-month period, so from May to September 2011. So in this example, in May, the average time on page was 1:40. And in September, it was 1:50. So if we're creating our targets based on a 4-month lead, then we could project our next target to be 2+ minutes. Or targets could also be a longer, you know, time period. And if it was a comment rate, we could look here and can look at a month-to-month over a period of time and evaluate the low end of the comment rate and the high end and see, okay, here it's, you know, 0.67%, and then the high end here in January, 1.58%. So maybe we're setting a target for 2%. The last aspect is segmentation. And this is asking what visitor attributes will provide meaningful insights. And segments are often considered this like optional element of web analytics, but I highly encourage you to reconsider that that perspective. It's data in aggregate is not nearly as meaningful as data that's segmented. Just considering the examples that we have here, if we're evaluating the effectiveness of our application, online application, whether it be a call to action or a page or a form process, if we're looking at that in aggregate, it's influenced, those numbers and conversion rates are influenced by our internal traffic too. And most college websites, I mean, the internal traffic can sit, you know, could be upwards of 50% of your overall traffic. So being able to segment internal versus external traffic, so you're looking at the audience that you're trying to measure these goals against, that's really, really important. Another common segmentation element is like new versus returning visitors. And these numbers, reflect very different, show very different insights. I mean, in this example here, returning visitors are 2,000. For unique visitors and 7,000 for new visitors. Again, if you're trying to measure, you know, these particular goals, you want to be able to segment based on your target audience. And some of these goals might be for internal audiences or returning visitors. You can also segment data based on referrals. So you could segment data based on social media sites. Particular referring sites, affiliate websites, and stuff like that. So it's not just limited to just some of the standard new versus returning and stuff like that. So you're all set. Thank you very much, Julie. Can we give Julie a hand, please? And Julie, don't forget your prize. Thank you very much. Okay, so there you have it. You have a framework in place, and you have a plan, so you're able to identify some meaningful metrics. Once you do so, the floodgates open, and you're able to make use of otherwise generic numbers and make really good use of them. And it can be applied to all of your content work, not just the top-level content, but also down to specific like calls to actions or landing pages or a particular video. It can all be measured. And I'm going to skip over that one. We'll come back. Using analytics, I recommend that you ask, so what at every stage of the content planning process? Identify and evaluate the impact of content problems. Augment qualitative analysis for deeper content insights. And then make the case for content strategy, demonstrating content success and failure. And analytics is all great for this. Actually putting this to work, some recommendations I have are work with the content owners and subject experts to identify those objectives and content goals, right? Because typically the person creating and publishing the content is not necessarily the content expert. So we need to go to the subject experts to identify those objectives and goals. But then I recommend that you or an analyst on staff then do the work of trying to pair those goals with meaningful metrics. And there's a lot of resources out there to kind of help you identify those metrics, plus a whole higher ed community. I realize that you take ownership of that aspect of it. And then put a process in place for aligning new content and related goals to establish business objectives, right? Because you're always gonna be creating new content, but it needs to somehow be aligned and fixed into this framework. So it can either be aligned to existing goals or we can add on to that. Goals are gonna change over time and your KPIs need to as well. Objectives should not be changing too frequently though. And then routinely demonstrate success. When you talk to content owners and you've identified objectives and goals that support their part of the website, show how that content is working for them and get their buy-in. This is also a great method of getting people invested in their content when they can actually see that it's working and how it's working. And then finally, just remember to ask, so what? When you're going through and, so what? When you hit a metric, when you have enough web metrics, when you keep asking so what, and you don't have a good answer anymore. So, page view, 2,000 page views, so what? And then you answer that question, you identify whether metrics are needed to kind of help answer that question, and then just keep asking, so what again? 70% bounce rate, so what? And just keep going. I talk a lot on Meet Content about content measurement, a lot of other related topics. And some of the aspects of this presentation that I touched on, including content audits and analysis and stuff, are reflected on Meet Content. So I encourage you to check it out if you're interested in learning more. I'm also more than happy to talk to you about how this could work in your institution, kind of, getting a plan in place. Because these things are always very particular to every organization. But content analytics is all stuff that I really love, and I'd be happy to chat with you more. So I guess we have some time for questions and stuff if you have any. Yes? Content.
Content.
Sorry. Yes.
Informational content
is tied to some goal. An action is not necessarily a click. An action it could be reading a blog page. That's an action. And just putting yourself in that mindset of thinking of things in the terms of actions so that you can actually quantify. If you're not able to pair it to some type of action quantitatively, how do you demonstrate the value of that? If it is information there, then that's someone needs to be reading it, right? So that's an important thing that you want to be able to identify. Is it getting viewed?
Mine's related, but more specific.
to measuring news? Well, if we're going on the let's walk through an example. Do you have a news?
A news story?
Like on your college website, you have.
Let's just say it's a story about a community program help somebody come over here from the area and help with their work. So it's a feature story.
It's a feature story. And so why is that featured story there? Are you trying to inform?
Inform all audiences.
All audiences? OK, so can we narrow that to, can we identify some of those audiences? Okay, so prospective students. So why is that there for prospective students?
To show that you know our school is something that a school that works with the community and does good work.
And all of these questions are leading with so what?
Right.
So what?
Right.
So you're going to keep digging deeper. So what?
Right.
To show your brand, and why is your brand important?
Because it attracts a certain type of
student. So you're wanting to attract particular students, and you're wanting them to do what?
Apply.
So ultimately, you're trying to think of what that action that you're wanting them to do. I mean, even just a simple blog on your website, it's there for a reason, right? And just thinking about what actions you're wanting people to take. And I don't mean to discount actions that can't be measured with analytics. I'm not saying analytics is the answer, because lots of actions don't happen on your website, right? Some actions happen offline. Brand awareness, a lot of the discussions happen, at the water cooler. They don't happen online, on Twitter. And so you have to look at other ways of being able to measure that. But this framework, it's just not limited to analytics. Right, so when you get down to the point of trying to figure out which metrics are appropriate, you'll discover that analytics may not be able to answer this question for you. And then you have to look at other options. I'm not discounting qualitative analysis. It's really important. So, Aaron, you had a?
Yeah, I was going to ask about the time on page metric. It was a minute 40, a minute 50.
It's all relative, right? So there is no, I can't tell you what the ideal time on page is. I mean, it's going to be different based on the different content type, based on your audience, based on the purpose of that content, based on how many people are visiting your website. And that's why it's so important to provide context for all of these numbers. And time on page is not necessarily a good thing, right? Time on page could mean that they're confused, right? And they can't find the information easily. And that's why you have to pair it with other relevant metrics to actually provide that meaningful context.
Yeah, so there's always the sexy metric of the year. I mean, originally when we first did analytics, it was like how many page hits, and then it was how long spent on the site, and then all these different things, and eventually they're all knocked down. Well, just because 5,000 people came, so what? You know, they
right.
Were at the wrong place. They spent 2 minutes on the site, now they're spending 2 minutes and 40 because they're confused or because they're engaged.
Right, absolutely. Right.
So all this stuff sort of digs this black hole of meaningless.
Well, no, that's not what I'm trying to convey. No. No.
That's the next slide. Right?
It's all for naught. No.
It's all for naught.
No, it's not all for naught. But no. But that's why you have to keep asking, so what? You have to keep asking it over and over and over again, because you can't just settle for one metric. And two metrics may not be enough. And when we're going through this process here, and we're even we have maybe just like one objective and one goal here, it may be six metrics that we're looking at. And it's not going to be foolproof. It's not going to be bulletproof. But it's going to provide some meaningful insights that will influence our decisions. Yes.
Are there any tips on being able to attribute metrics to specific content
Right. Well, if you're communicating, if you have content goals and you're executing on those from multiple places, whether your website or even in real life information sessions, stuff like that, you have to put something in place to be able to measure those things. So maybe you have, your website's easier to track, but like offline stuff, you can have use campaign tracking. You can set up unique URLs to be able to track off, print. Links and stuff like that. Those are some examples. If you have different types of content on your website and they're serving a similar purpose and you're trying to figure out which one is most effective, even on the same page, you can use event tracking. That's really, really valuable.
Just to go back to time on page for a second. So I've been known to pull up a page and get a phone call and leave that page up.
Well, you can't. First of all, Google Analytics will stop tracking after 30 minutes of inactivity.
Well, yeah, no, but the point is, how do you assess the experience that is behind that quantitative measure? You know what I'm saying?
Maybe I don't.
To go back to the point earlier, so maybe it's a good thing that people are coming in, getting out quick. Maybe it's a bad thing.
Right. How do you figure that out? Analytics can't answer that. It can't answer why.
But is that what's the follow-up? Is how do you, if analytics can't do it, is there a way that you can figure that out?
Yep. User research, surveys, creating personas. There's lots of qualitative metrics that need to complement this stuff. Yes. Analytics is going to uncover a lot of content problems, and it won't be able to answer them all. And then you're going to have to go back to some qualitative evaluation of your content. But likewise, it's the qualitative analysis uncovers a lot of questions that it can't answer. They complement each other. One of the things I'm just trying to convey is that I think analytics is severely underutilized, and people aren't using it well. And there's a lot of opportunity for it to be used, and not just the traditional content measurement aspects and dashboard reporting and stuff like that, but actually applying it to all your different content, work. It has a lot of value. Yes?
Is there a model you find works well? If no one's really doing this now, who's the best person for the job, role-wise,
I don't know. Ideally, we'd all have an analyst on hand, right? but if not, I think that the content creator or editor is a great person for this, because they're the ones that have the answers to those content questions, and they're the ones that are able to identify, be able to pair those metrics with those goals, because that's what they're doing that already for their content creation. Any other questions? Okay, I guess that's it. Thank you very much.